The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none. And whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" He told them, "Do not practice extortion, do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord. So, according to my count, we've already heard the words joy, gladness, exult 18 times for Mass this morning. 18 times. So there's obviously a message here. If you didn't pick up on the color rose, which is the color of joy and rejoicing, we call today Gaudete Sunday. It's a Latin word, it's a command. Rejoice. Be filled with joy. We have a similar Sunday during the season of Lent called Laetare, which basically means the same thing, rejoice. And I think that we have this because sometimes we need to be reminded to be joyful. I mean, look around in the world today. There's a lot that we're not joyful about, I think, or at least not happy. So I want to first of all contrast the word joy to the word happiness, because they're not the same thing. I think that happiness is what the world, most of the world, mistakes for joy. Happiness really is more of a feeling, I think. But what I want to tell you today is that joy is a context. It is out of our joy that we have a deep source of truth and hope. And we can find it in the most unlikely places, joy. So, for example, during Advent, while we're waiting, we're longing, we're expecting something to happen. If you can imagine, during those centuries before Christ, nobody really knew when that was going to happen. It was just sort of this sort of period. Maybe you could describe it as a time of darkness. There's a glimmer of light. The light is growing. But in the meantime, that darkness might represent a lot of things to you. It might represent anxiety or confusion, uncertainty. The time of Advent is a time of tentative expectation. We hope something's going to happen. I've been using that image of pandemic this season of Advent because we can kind of use that as an example. I mean, even before we had vaccines, there was this question about what's next. What's next? We hope it's something that's good, right? The season of Lent is different. We are in Lent and we're kind of in that same sort of state, but it's reference to our sinfulness. It's in the midst of our guilt and our longing to change, our desire to be transformed, that we can still find joy. We have these Sundays that punctuate these seasons to remind us to look for the joy where we are. I think the best example of this is when we look at Jesus on the cross. That's why the crucifix is such an important image for us, I think, because in the middle of that pain and that suffering, I mean, the ultimate pain and suffering, right? The abandonment, the aloneness that he feels even from his Father. Why have you abandoned me? that relationship is who he is, right? So he even feels that that has been taken away. In the middle of that pain and suffering, we know that he still has ultimate joy, because what he is doing is accomplishing the will of his Father. The work of salvation is being done. And it's in that context, it's not that he finds happiness, but he has that deep context of joy out of which hope can still survive. Joy. So, what is that context? Well, we hear it in the first reading first. You have no further misfortune to fear. Fear not, do not be as discouraged. The Lord is in your midst. And then, something I love about this reading, it says, he will rejoice over you with gladness. Maybe this isn't about my joy at all. Maybe it's about his. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will sing joyfully because of you, as one sings at festivals. So they're all coming to John the Baptist in the gospel today. They're all saying, what should we do while we're waiting? And John the Baptist is trying to just say, just do what you're supposed to do, right? To the soldiers and the tax collectors and all the crowds that are coming to Jesus, what should we do? He basically just says, do the right thing. And in doing the right thing, in this time of waiting, this will be a source of your joy. If you just do what you're supposed to do. And then finally, the second reading today, which is so beautiful, from Philippians. We only get the first half of this. I'm going to read this, the first half and the second half, because this, I think, is the secret of joyfulness. Brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice. Why? Or how, rather? Your kindness should be known to all. Do we not need kindness now more than ever, I think, in our world? Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But here's the second part of this reading. Finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, then think of these things. Keep on doing what you have learned. It sounds like John the Baptist. Now, keep on doing what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. And then the God of peace will be with you. Ultimately, it's not the joy that we seek, is it? But it's the peace that only that joy can bring. And that's what we spend our time waiting on during this season of Advent. It's that reconciliation and restoration that we seek in the season of Lent. Ultimately, it's that joy that brings about in us that peace of Christ, which allows us to be in complete communion with him and with one another in community.